10. Rico. Rico had expected Isaac to be held in the brig on the Centurion Space Force base at the center of Praetan, and she was surprised when General Hyrie told her she was wrong. According to Hyrie, while the brig in CSF Alpha was secure, it was also too high profile to make someone like Isaac disappear. Instead, the Council needed a place they could trust with certainty, a place that didn't carry the risk of someone saying too much to the wrong person. A place outside the domes of Praetan. They were sitting in a coffee shop at a table near the window. 6 hours had passed since their meeting with General Hyrie, which had concluded with Abel leading them from the private room to a hidden back door out of ghosts and into a waiting transport. The transport had carried them to a warehouse the other side of the dome, where Abel had efficiently fulfilled each of Rico's requests, albeit with a personal twist on the meaning of some of her asks. With that done, they had been afforded a few hours to rest before boarding the transport again, taking it only a short distance before they were unloaded into the foot traffic to make their own way. "What's our plan?" Bennett asked. Rico glanced over at the clone, only maintaining eye contact for a moment before looking away. Bennett's eyes seemed to penetrate her soul without trying, digging too damn deep into her for her liking. She looked out the window, raising her head to gaze up past the dome to the massive silhouette of the Generation Starship Dove at rest in the distance. 19 ships had landed on Proxima within a 2-week span over 200 years earlier, each of the ships having ferried between 30 and 40,000 settlers away from an alien-ravaged Earth to start a new life. The Dove was the first to arrive, the founding ship and cornerstone of Praetan. It was still in use today, home to a museum, a CSF starship hangar, and most importantly, the Proxima Civilian Council and its adjunct political bureaus. She had laughed when General Hyrie told her Isaac was being held in the same apartments where dignitaries from Proxima's other cities would stay during sessions of the planet's Congress, finding it sadly amusing that it was the only place the Council felt it could trust. Then again, they intended to make a legal citizen of Proxima vanish without a trace. The whole situation bordered on insanity. She tapped on the small, flesh-colored patch Abel had adhered to her wrist over her real identification chip. The fake would identify her as an employee of the Praetan History Museum, which was located in the smaller hangar near the back of the 2-kilometer-long ship. Bennett wore a matching patch that would claim he was an administrative assistant for the representative of Caesar, one of the smaller cities along the tropical hemisphere, about 600 kilometers away. "Chips get us in," she said quietly, reaching down to tug on the hem of her brown skirt, part of the uniform the museum guides wore. She hadn't been in a skirt since she was 8 years old. "Uniforms get us close." She patted her large purse slightly, referencing the bodysuit and sidearm inside. "This gets us out."
"I don't think museum guide was the best choice," Bennett said. "A skirt? Don't you think you'll be recognized as a Rodriguez?"
He was in a navy blue guard uniform, a utility vest strapped over his shirt, and a bodysuit resting beneath it. His sidearm was part of his suit. Lucky bastard.
"Abel apparently doesn't think so," she replied. "Either that or he has some personal vendetta against me that I would have rather settled with a death match."
Bennett laughed, and Rico's heart fell again. It had been months since she had heard that laugh. Damn, she missed her husband.
"Maybe when this is over, you can get your wish."
She forced a smile.
"Something to live for. I'll go first. Wait 10 minutes, and then follow behind me."
"Yes, ma'am.
And don't call me ma'am. Not when we're about to break about 100 laws. Rico will do."
"Copy that."
She stood up, straightened the skirt, heading for the door. She was uncomfortable walking in high heels instead of combat boots. Maybe if she were going out to a fancy dinner or to a show, she could make do. But to break a non-fugitive out of a non-prison and steal a non-military starship? She didn't even know if she could run in the damn things. She left the coffee shop, crossing to the closest loop station. She boarded the next pod. It stopped twice before coming back to the surface near the Centauri River, the lifeblood of the city. The clear water flowed through a crevice in the surface rock that was nearly 20 meters deep and 10 meters wide. The Dove had landed beside the river, and a short, transparent tunnel, offering access to both vehicles and pedestrians, had been built to connect the aged ship to the city. It was early morning now, and a flow of workers were already en route to their positions inside the vessel. Rico was careful to keep an eye out for other museum employees, certain they would know she was out of place. Abel had already run the calculations and provided the excuse. The museum didn't open until 9, and she was arriving early to get a head start on the day. Why not? A Centurion checkpoint waited at the end of the tunnel, a guardhouse positioned between the two-lane road and the sidewalk. A pair of Centurion Marines stood on either side of the guardhouse, keeping watch, while the pedestrians swiped their identification chips over a scanner. A sentry bot hunched a few meters further back, waiting for trouble. It had been waiting a long time. There was zero history of violence within the Proxima Commons. The show of force, more show than force. That was possibly about to change. Rico grabbed at her hair, ensuring her wig was secure. She hoped the Marines wouldn't recognize her as a Rodriguez. She had the facial features, but hopefully the wig, glasses, and uniform would be enough to disguise her. Why wouldn't it? She knew she was up to no good, but they had no reason to suspect her. She forced herself to remain calm as she made it to the scanner. She slid her wrist over it, her face appearing on a display beside the machine under a different name. She didn't know how Abel managed to create the false ID. Before today, she had thought the system was nearly unbeatable. Obviously, that wasn't the case. She didn't make eye contact with the Marines as she went past, keeping her head down and trying to look confident. She glanced at the sentry as she drew even with it. The robot didn't pay her any mind. She was in. A short walk brought her to an escalator, which carried her up from the ground level to the lowest airlock in the side of the airship. She went through the airlock and into an open corridor that arced gradually along the outer bulkhead. She turned left and continued walking. The museum was in a straight line down the corridor, nearly a kilometer away from the entrance. Bennett wouldn't come this way. Instead, he would take another passage across the starship to the central bank of lifts. A small group was already waiting there for the lift to arrive, and she slipped into their midst when it did. The lift descended half a dozen decks, stopping at 16. The doors opened, and the passengers all filed out. Rico lingered in the back, letting them all get ahead.
"Rico, do you copy?" Bennett said.
"I copy," Rico replied in a whisper. "What's your position?"
"Approaching the checkpoint."
"Roger, I'm on deck 16, heading for Metro. Ping me when you're in position."
"Copy. Bennett out."
Rico followed the group from the lift and down a trio of interconnected corridors to an open, double-wide hatch. A brass plaque hung over the hatch commemorating the city's establishment. She stayed behind the others as they made their way from the hatch down another corridor, which sloped gently down to the city proper. This part of the ship had once been home to the engineers who had been responsible for keeping the life support systems running. Most of those systems were offline now, unneeded. Only the air scrubbers and water filtration units were still in use. It was a long walk to get from the entrance of the ship to the city. There were shorter routes, but they were reserved for VIPs like politicians, high-ranking military, and their entourages. In any case, the security through the express gate was even tighter than the civilian entrance. It didn't matter. They wouldn't be using either path to escape. There was another way out. A better way.